Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this channel. On today's episode, I'd like to introduce my guest, a friend of mine from college, Gregory.
Hello.
Greg!
Hi, Chad.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm very well. It's good to hear from you.
I know. Long time no see or talk or anything.
I know. I know. That's probably my fault, so... You can blame me for that.
I will.
I appreciate you coming on.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Okay, good. Good, good. Have you been, did you check out the Met game?
No, I was at work during it. I was able to get an update from my phone. I'm glad that I finally got a win and that David Wright played very well.
Yes. It's really embarrassing. It's really embarrassing, though, to drop 2 out of 3 to the Marlins.
They're rebuilding. They have a lot of good prospects. Matt Harvey is...
He's amazing. Disgusting. He's amazing.
Yeah, I remember when they drafted him. I was talking to a friend of mine. First of all, I loved his last name.
Harvey.
I loved the last name of Harvey, yeah. I called him the White Rabbit. That's a weird joke that no one will ever get.
No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, thank you. Everybody's like, what does it have to do with a rabbit? I was like... And he's really lived up to the hype and really been everything they've ever wanted. And they have Wheeler, who's having trouble in the minors a little bit with location, but so did Harvey and Darnell. So I mean, there's a lot of positivity coming from them. And what I really want them to do, if Buck keeps being the best catcher in the league, trade him and get like a high prospect outfielder. Someone will take him.
Oh, no, absolutely someone will take him. And if he continues it, I would say past the All-Star break. Definitely he would have to be a trade deadline deal. But he could be a really good one.
He could. I mean, everybody wants an offensive catcher, and right now there's no one better. I don't know how long he can keep this up, but I think everybody knows he's not this good. But that's where we'll do that with Dickey over the offseason. He had that one good year last year where basically no one could hit him. 20 wins, they got a top-flight catcher in Darnell. So
they did.
If they can repeat that, you never know what will happen. They can build. They can build a team. It happens quickly. Look at the Nationals. They stunk 2 years ago.
Yeah, and all of a sudden they're not right now, but all of a sudden they are very competitive and very good.
Yeah, I mean they got Strasburg and they got they got Harper and they were smart in free agency except for with Jason Morris. But for the most part, they've had good signings, and they'll be a contender for years.
They will. The only thing I'll say about Worth, though, that's one of those signings that it's almost done as a sign of good faith to future free agents. That look, this is a place to come. So by signing him, they weren't necessarily getting production; they were getting future free agents.
That's fair. I mean, it does show players that you're willing to spend money. It's really what matters.
Yeah, which is exactly, for a lot of these players, that's exactly what you want, so it's not just the Yankees and the Angels and one other team, maybe the Phillies, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, but even if you look at the Marlins, they signed all the people last year, but they didn't give them guaranteed contracts, so they trade them all away, and who's going to want to go there anymore?
Nobody. Nobody's going to want to go there for at least until Lurie is gone, which, unfortunately... fortunately for us, but unfortunately for anybody who's a fan of them, is not going to happen for an extremely long time. He's going to be there for a very long... I mean, it's hard.
They're an advanced minor league team.
They are. It's just sad to see any team have to go through that.
They've still won more than the Mets in the past 20 years.
Well, whatever. I know, but... I don't know. I know that that's just what happens with us. It's like the worst luck, but we know it's going to happen, and we'll just take it and move on from there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. See what happens.
I agree.
Yeah.
Valdespin, can he just hit off the bench forever from now on?
He's one of the great Mets pinch hitters. He was able to hit a grand slam and get around the bases. That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, he can, and quite quickly, I might add.
He wants the grand slam single to happen to him, so he just kind of like ran away from his teammates so he'd be able to get back to home.
Yeah, well, there's no Todd Pratt to to screw them up for that.
True. I love rooting for them more than any team that I root for right now, except for one. And watching them progress into hopefully what they were for a couple years in the mid-2000s will be fun. And I think they're making a lot of smart decisions. I think ownership will spend money over the next 2 years. It will get better. It's tough now, but, I mean, you have to look at the bright spot.
It's tough now, but at least we see something to get out of it. It was really hard when it was just Jason Bay and maybe Johan going on the DL. There's at least something that we can look forward to and that we see little signs of. I'm really surprised by Daniel Murphy's season this so far, because he's doing a really good job. He's hitting for average and he's getting some pretty good solid hits.
They need a leadoff guy, but he's a prototypical two hitter, a guy who hits for average, occasionally hits for power, doesn't get into too many double plays, but he can hit everything. I really like him at the two. They play him in the third spot now just because they don't have that many people to lead off and no one cleaning up really, except for the catcher. But I think he's a natural two-hitter, and as long as he plays an adequate to good second base, that's all I care. And he's young.
He is. And, yeah, I agree with you. He is a better two-hitter than a three-hitter. So I hope that somebody steps it up, whether it's Duda or Buck, until the trade deadline and can bat fourth.
Chivy Ike, he's not... I remember when he first started, he got like two hits, three hits. He wasn't aiming for power, but he was hitting for average. Now he's, I don't know what he's doing. He's pressing. He's like a extreme Mark Teixeira. He doesn't do anything in the first 2 months. And then at the end of the year last year, he hit more runs than anybody.
The Mets
can't afford, like, the Yankees can deal with Mark Teixeira doing it, but the Mets can't afford.
No, they can't. Unfortunately, there's nobody to really put over at first.
No.
I guess. But then who are you going to put in the outfield? They're going to let him play through it because he did it last year where he had a horrendous start and then he finished off with 32 home runs last year. So they're going to let him play through it because if he's done it once, he'll do it again. And if he doesn't do it again, then it'll be okay to let him go.
I can only hope so. I have a weird feeling, and it's not the worst player to be compared to. That it's just going to be like another Adam Dunn who will get you 40 home runs but also hit for 190 and like strike out five out of 10 times. But if that's what he is, maybe Duda. I mean, Duda has shown a lot more promise this year than him. And as long as one of them steps up, I don't care. But they need a cleanup hitter.
I agree. Right,
about a cleanup hitter.
I agree. So you said that the Mets are probably the one team that you root for the most. Is there a team above that?
Yeah, you know who they are. Don't make me say it.
I know. I don't know if I'm quite ready to go into. I don't know if I'm quite ready to go into it.
Do you know how many arguments I get? Where I live in the tri-state area, do you know how many people hate me?
You do. For the record, I'll put it out there. You are a fan of the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
I'll put it out there. I don't know if I'm quite ready to go into the argument. So we'll take that and we'll move on to football. Did you watch the draft?
I watched a good amount of it. I had updates over the weekend, but I watched the first day, and it's a lot different from last year, where last year was super top-heavy. RG3 locked a ton of players. This one, I wouldn't be surprised that, because they say you won't know how good a draft is until 3 years from now, I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at the draft from this year and saying, wow, how did they let that guy slide into the second, third, fourth, fifth round? I think there's a lot of depth. And I think there will be some good players, as always, in the first round, but I just think a lot of the people you'll hear about won't be in that first round, which is fine.
I think you're right, and I think a lot has to be said that a record amount of offensive linemen went in this draft, which shows you a couple things, that obviously the protection of the quarterback is most important, but also that the skill positions were not the strongest in terms of very high quality prospects that you got, because you need an offensive line, but you, to be successful, you need a very good one. And I think the fact that there were so many high quality offensive linemen shows you a lot about this draft.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't, especially for bad teams who are usually drafting in, you know, top 15, top 20. If you can't get a quarterback, your philosophy should be A, to protect a quarterback when you get it, or B, get players that can make their quarterback very frustrated. And that's essentially what it was. To go back to the Patriots, I was looking at a sheet about who Bill Belichick has drafted over the past, his whole tenure. And number one is Inc. offensive lineman to protect Brady, and number two is defensive lineman to get after the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then, you know, they're pretty good at drafting them amongst a few teams. I mean, you can always tell who's a good, who, what teams are good at drafting, because they're the teams that are good every year. The Giants, the Steelers, Packers. They're the best. I always think that, actually I think it's the same in baseball, that you want your team to be better because of free agency, but it's the draft where championships are built. I mean, look at the Bills last year. They were the big splash in free agency. They didn't do anything.
Very good point.
Teams like the Packers and the Steelers, Patriots, the Giants, they draft their guys. The Giants draft Jason Pierre-Paul how many years ago? 3 years ago, and he's a monster. Had a little bit of a down year, but he's still a monster. Steelers consistently make good picks. The Packers, they've surrounded Rodgers with wide receivers. They can let Greg Jennings go. I don't think it'll affect them too much. And I think the Seahawks did that too the past couple of years. And I think they, Russell Wilson, I'm not as high on them as some people are, but if Russell Wilson does evolve into a better quarterback than he was last year, which was pretty good, and they made a lot of good decisions in free agency and the draft, they could be disgusting, them and the 49ers.
They absolutely could. I mean, I'll tell you what, Seattle, Pete Carroll learned his lesson. Being out of the NFL for, what was that? It was almost 20 years, roundabout.
Yeah, where did he first... I know he was with the Patriots for a little bit. Did he go with it? Did he go to anybody after that? Was he with the Jets? Or am I making that up?
No, his first head coaching job was 1994 with the Jets. And that was where me. that was the famous faked spike game with Marino faking the spike. So that basically killed his season and his job. And then he went to New England to take over for Parcells. And then after, I think, two or three seasons there, then he moved on to USC. But that's where he had great success at USC. And I think he really kind of, when he came back to the pros, because that was a pro team. His years there with Leinart and Palmer and, oh, jeez.
Well, he conveniently left at the right time before they got in trouble.
He sure did. You know, he learned
smart.
He learns quick and he learns right, because he knew, all right, I got to go. I got my three titles. They can take it off the statue and off the media guide, but they can't take, you know, my ring or anything like that. But once,
yeah, no one's talking about it, so he's giving him credit.
Exactly. So he skated and he has started very successfully re-entering the NFL. So I give him credit.
Yep. I do too. Him and both the Harbaugh brothers have been. I mean, there's a lot of good head coaching right now in the NFL.
There is.
Belichick, Coughlin, Harbaugh's, Tomlin's great. Rex is up and down, but I think for the most part, the teams play hard for him. How'd you think, if you have a question, what'd you think of the Jets draft? Because they're far more interesting than my team in the draft.
I do. I think that I definitely needed a sixth quarterback, like I needed a hole in the head. And I feel bad. I'll tell you what. I feel bad for Tebow. Look. I'm not going to be an apologist for him or even my team, but here's what I see. When I look at Tebow, this is a guy who, in the NFL, he works so hard. Fine. His skills are not up to what they should be as a quarterback. But this is a guy who works so hard. He attends every off-season program. He was the first one, you know, at this year's and in past years. He always comes. He comes ready. He comes prepared, and he will do whatever you want. And when this is a league where you see so many, especially at skill positions, so many prima donnas and divas and, quite honestly, not the best upstanding citizens, religious ideologies removed from that. So to have a guy who is totally and just absolutely disregarded publicly, not just by the fans. Fans are one thing, but by the organizations themselves. It's really surprising, and it's a little disappointing. I really hope that he does. Like, it's one of the few things I think it would be, because another example would be almost like Danny Woodhead. He's a guy who came from, you know, a very small school. I believe he was undrafted, and he was stupidly cut by the Jets. But that's a guy who he worked so hard, and now he's reaping from it by going up to New England, and he is producing. So, I mean, in one way, I would kind of, I kind of would get a really good kick if Tebow went to New England, just because if anybody had a plan or an idea or a kernel of what to do with him, it would be Belichick.
Here's my, so many things here. All right.
I know.
There's so many things with the Tebow. I've been at work. All we do is talk about sports, and Tebow was a big topic of conversation a couple days ago. Here's the thing with him in New England. In on paper, the perfect Belichick and McDaniels guy. First of all, McDaniels drafted him when he was with the Broncos.
That's true.
When he was like, I'm going to make 80 trades and, you know, outsmart everybody like Belichick does, but not do it as well. In terms of the skill set, they do love versatile players like that who are just good athletes who they can put anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick loves that. McDaniels loves it.
Yeah.
However, they hate the attention he'll get. And he will get attached faster if he's in New England.
Absolutely.
Not that he's gonna take it. It's not going to be like Sanchez and Brady. Brady's never leaving the field. Dumbest decision in the world. But do they really want the media exposure? Does he really think that Tebow is going to benefit them that much, that it's worth it as a distraction to the team? That's my one thing. I personally wouldn't want him on the Patriots. I think they have enough players like that.
I'll agree to that.
Would I be totally surprised? No, I wouldn't. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. It looks like the Canadian Football League offered him a contract and whatnot. And people feel bad for Tebow. I've heard that a lot. The thing is, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, is can I really feel bad for him? I hated how much attention he got in Denver. Because people said, oh, Tebow, look at him. He's making them win all these games. I think they finished the season 8-8. People forget about that. And they lost three out of their last games of the season. They had a great win in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And then they got destroyed in New England because they knew how to attack him. He's you know, one-trick pony.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As a starting quarterback, it's very simple what he's going to do. But he's won more playoff games than you or I have. So, to me...
Yeah, well... The bad quarterbacks. I mean, Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl. There's only so much that... I mean, numbers are relevant in a couple places, but I'm not going to take that one playoff win. Even if it's over the Steelers, even though he did it overtime and there were some aspects that were impressive, I'm not going to overblow that. And he got more attention than he deserved. Yes, he is a super hard worker, and he's a super nice guy. I always thought there should be a game show where you hang out with Tim Tebow for a day and... The challenge is to not like him, to not love him, to not like want to be his best friend. But I think he's super likable, and I think he's a genuine good guy, and in terms of that, that's great. And NFL teams should have that. All teams should have that.
Yeah.
But the media exposure, which isn't totally his fault, but it's there. There are tons of players like him. Yes, I understand that the Jets, he chose the Jets.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not sure if this is true, but I remember hearing rumors that both the Jaguars and Jets wanted him, and he basically told Denver, trade with the Jets. I think I have a better chance of starting with the Jets.
Yeah.
And maybe the Jets made a promise to him that, oh, yeah, you never know, you can compete for the job, and we'll see what happens. And they didn't see something. The Jets didn't see something. It was probably in practice, because the guy can't throw. He can't.
Right.
He's not a quarterback.
No.
He's not.
He really should be a running back. I mean, because he can find the holes, and he's not afraid to go into them. That's one thing I liked about him as a quarterback. Here's a guy who, when so many quarterbacks around the league are treated with kid gloves in one way or another, this is a guy who puts his head down, and he'll bust through the line as hard as he can. He might get a yard. He might get 10, but he'll try for it. So.
Definitely. And he doesn't make mistakes, which I'll give him credit for when he's with Denver. He never threw interceptions, which is anti-Sanchez.
No.
I think Aaron Hernandez, H-back, tight end, he can run. Like, I remember against Denver, they used him as a halfback. That's Tebow's position. If he's such a hard worker, which he is, he will concentrate on catching the football, learning to protect it better, and just being a versatile jack-of-all-trades. And maybe with New England or whomever, he could be a prototypical, pretty good H-back who can even threaten you with the deep ball once in a while. But he has to want to do that. He has to accept that he's not a quarterback and that he won't play every down. If he can do that, and the team is willing to do that and put up with all the other stuff, he can be successful, but I just don't see... When he did well in Denver, a team didn't... Like, very few teams want to trade for him.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to see it right now with Tebow.
No, I agree. Well, it's hard for a lot... Nobody's seeing it right now. That's why he's out of a job, and because of the draft, all the rosters are completely full, so he has nowhere to go for quite some time. And actually, getting back to the draft, aside from Geno Smith, another quarterback. Rex got his picks. He wanted two defensive guys, and he basically said, I'm done. Take anybody else you want to. That Milner guy, the Milner guy, I understand he was the best one on the best player available on the board, but all those knee surgeries really kind of worries me. And another defensive lineman, sure, why not? If he's good enough, he'll be fine.
So. I agree. They didn't have any... They didn't have any can't miss, wow, this is a guaranteed thing picks. But I guess in the draft, who does? Because you never know how someone will turn out.
Yeah.
Be Ryan Leaf. But I do like the Milner was the best player available. Some people said he was the best defensive player in the draft. The knee injuries, of course, scare you. But sometimes, that's the kind of risk you pick and make. And if it works out, it works out well. Because, Rex Ryan's defense, that 3-4 coverage sacks, that's what it's supposed to be, and the defensive tackle, while I thought they needed an outside linebacker, in a 3-4, generally the three defensive tackles take up space, they're big guys, and they occupy a lot of offensive linemen, and you can attack with your outside linebackers and your middle linebackers, and no one really knows where the blitz is coming from. It could come from the linebackers, they go back into coverage, you can attack with the safety. And it's really about deception, which Rex loves. He loves setting the safeties. He loves overloading one side, being just deceptive and really confusing people. And it's worked. It's killed Brady a couple times.
Yeah.
And I think he's got, and I think right now he has Copples, Wilkerson, and who'd they get? Richardson?
Yeah, Shelton Richardson, I think his name is Richardson.
And they're big guys, and I think they'll take up blockers, and I think Copples is, while more of a pass rusher, and maybe they'll play him at outside linebacker a couple times, and they'll play him at end. I do think that in terms of a 3-4, they work out pretty well. They need an outside linebacker, though. They're not going to get him, but a Von Miller type that just you're scared of him.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. It's still early. I'm still thinking about baseball. So it's the best I can do.
Did you like Geno Smith? Were you expecting to get him second round? He's not there. The Jets are probably going to get him. Is that what you thought, or
Was I expecting it? Back of my mind, I'm always expecting it. Unfortunately, my football team's just like my baseball team. I'm expecting half of these things. So when they come true, I'm not surprised. What I would have much rather liked would have been one of the tight ends. The one from Stanford and the one from... what was his name from Notre Dame?
Notre Dame had a good one.
I forget his name, but I like the one from Stanford, Zach Ertz or something. Earth's,
yeah, it was something like that. He was a pretty top-rated pick. I mean, I don't know who they have a tight end anymore. They lost Keller,
yeah,
who, while injured, did show a lot of promise in a couple of games. And he was, the Jets have done a lot of stuff wrong. One of them is not giving Sanchez anybody consistent over the years. And Keller, when healthy, was his most consistent guy. He's gone.
He was a safety blanket. He was, all these guys have safety blankets, and that was his safety blanket. I mean, the record showed when Keller was out, they had a losing record. And when Keller was in, they at least had a 500, if not an over 500 record. So, mm-hmm.
And I always thought he was, I don't want to say underrated, because he had potential to be a top 10 tight end, and maybe he still does. Interesting, I was watching, because I love the Patriots, the NFL Network had a Bill Belichick special, and it was the first year of the Jets, and they're facing them. This is the game the Jets won.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meetings beforehand, you hear Belichick be like, watch Keller up the seams. He's going to kill us up the seams if we don't put a guy on him. And one play, I think in the third quarter, nobody gets a hand on Keller, and he just torched them for maybe like a 30-yard game. So he has that ability. He does.
Yeah. No, he definitely does, and he's gone. He's helping so we'll see.
Been a lot of moves.
Yeah, we'll have to see what they do. So, well, Greg, I'd like to thank you for joining me.
You're welcome, Chad. People should listen to this podcast. It seems very interesting. Chad, you have the voice of an angel.
Thank you. All right, Greg. I will talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon, Chad.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
And another thanks to Greg for joining me on this episode. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes under Everyman Sports. You can also email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's everymansports, one word, @gmail.com. For any questions, comments, any topics you'd like to hear about, any teams you'd like us to talk about, or any events coming up. So once again, thank you very much for listening. Take care.